That's why they need to do it like this. And if they don't reach out to these cosmic levels of orgasm, they cannot create the channel to allow his soul to come and incarnate into the seed, into the belly of the female. The Ahel do the same. It has nothing to do with species. I'm fascinated by the Gaioth, of course, because I know one very well. And knowing his vibrance, his energy, I mean, that must be quite amazing. Q. Their mating is beyond merely bodily pleasure. Oh yes, totally. They need to reach out this level. Of course there's bodily pleasure, but that's just groundwork. The bodily pleasure would unlock the channel and then they reach out to it. Q. How do they change their sex? They are mammals based, so they produce hormones. If they decided with the brain, and many species who are hermaphrodites decide to do that by an intention in the brain, that is going to unlock the production of certain hormones, that are going to transform quite rapidly regarding the development of certain organs. Q. Are they coupled with their twin flames? Yes, they are, because these states of consciousness, that you need to reach to produce for the fertilization the love to work, you can do it only with your twin flame, with a soul that is paired with the U. You cannot do that with anyone. It needs to be your twin flame, because only twin flames manage to do this, reach out to these levels. 358. Ahil, we were talking about tantric love and the way of the need to find a twin flame to procreate. That show the Ahil work. That's the same race that lives on planet Eru in the Pleiades. That's Thorhan's race, and so they are from the Liran systems. They are Lirans and they are very ancient species. Thier that all blondes. One of the races in the Pleiades. They have grown into a very spiritual race, cultivating arts, serving the attainment of inner peace and spiritual ascension, such as ethereal music, dance, visual arts, and above everything lovemaking. For the Ahil, lovemaking is their must, as above every enjoyment. Every hobby. It's in their culture, as there is who they are. This is something very particular to the Ahil. So there's something very particular to them why they love to do that. They have two genders, male-female. The brain has the ability to activate some sensors on their skin. They have an extremely sensitive skin, which in normal time is not, they block it, it's like us, not that sensitive. But when they are making love, they activate certain parts of their brain that activates all these captures, all the skin captures, and the skin becomes hypersensitive, and this is like erotic like crazy. Extremely sensitive to central touch. They distinguish three types of making love. The reproductive functions, just making babies. Or just for pleasure, just enjoyment pleasure, a physical pleasure enjoyment. And the third is a different one, is reaching out to higher states of consciousness. So making offsprings involves this. Why it is presented separately? Because sometimes they want to just reach out highest stage of consciousness without being pregnant. So you know, it's two things, but the three are not separate. All the three go together. They can procreate. They are like the Agaroth and many species reaching this stage. Someone was asking me about the Metan from Proxima Centauri. Yes. They are the same. The Arahil need to procreate with their twin flame, otherwise it doesn't work, because to procreate they need to open a channel to very high dimension and density, and to open this channel they need to merge the souls and dance together. So most of the time what many of them do is, male or female or both together, male-female, male-male, female-female whatever, male sometimes many together. They are going to party like mad, to enjoy to have sex, to just experience, and they love that. I mean that pleasure is in their culture. So they're gonna have as many partners they want. They're going to just enjoy and it's gonna be very cool, until they feel within themselves the call to that twin flame. They're going to feel it time, and they will want to be with that twin flame forever, well until they die. So they are going to do a ritual, which is like a wedding. It is a wedding, a ritual ceremony of recognition and attachment of two twin flames in this incarnation. They are going to bind. It's a binding ceremony of two bodies, because they are already twin flames. But the bodies need to be binded energetically. So, it's a ceremony that involves 13 densities, 12 plus the 13th, the source, and that's going to be representative of the 12 densities and the source in the center. It's a very beautiful ceremony, I've seen it, and quite impressive. And then once their bodies are binded, they are able to reach out to these higher realms and be pregnant if they want. The act of love will include physical pleasure, tantric reaching out of a higher realm of consciousness, and, only then if they choose to have a baby, welcome soul. They can have as many babies as we do. They regulate very much their population themselves by wisdom, and they have the ability to send people off world in colonies. So they regulate their population. When they become reach a certain quota, they are going to just move somewhere else, some of them. It's all done in wisdom and good mood. It's something absolutely mind-blowing. 359. We are compatible with them. The Terrans are compatible with them. Humanoid races in this galaxy are all compatible with each other. You can have babies with Pleiadians, with Metans, with all Terrans, with pretty much everyone that is human. Q. Is there other species that have a period like Earth females? Yes, they have periods, but they control it, because the brain controls everything in the body. It's not painful, and it's just cycles. All mammals have periods, but they're not regulated like a month for human females of Earth. We are regulated on the cycles of the moon. It's not the case for all the other females of different cultures in the galaxy, because they are born anid genetics. They have different numbers of satellites, different cycles of times, and it's different. I do not remember about the period, duration and frequency of the Ahil females, but they have. All mammals have periods. Q. Please talk more about twin flames. What if they are incarnated elsewhere? Twin flames can incarnate in two different worlds, in different densities. You're not obliged to incarnate in the same world or species. You can incarnate in different species, of course. But there's a purpose for that, and there's a lot of binomes. Twin flames actually in the Starseed Envoys program, where one is below and one is above, because their link is unbreakable and nobody can hack it. And when one is below and one is above, usually it's the female below, because the female is a receptor and the male is an emitter, so it works like this. The male will send down to the female, who will receive the higher frequency, and she will anchor them on the planet. That's why female soul receptors will be more likely incarnated on Earth, and the male twin flame incarnate above. Do the baddies. The Dung, that's not the Solipsi Rei, although they all look like the Zeta, Zrog. The Dung come from Zeta Reticuli, also like the Zrog. They were involved in the 1955 agreements of Themj 12 with the Nebu. There was the Dung from Zeta Reticuli, the Iban from Betelgeuse, some Idrako German involved as well. Grey-wise it was the Ebony and the Dung. Why the Dung? Because the Dung have been enslaved to Ebony mainly. The Ebony are good geneticists with bad intentions, and they are very good at doing clones and enslaving and transforming the genome of population by modifying the DNA by putting substance in people. They sign agreement with the MJ-12, and it is their speciality to do that, transform genome of invade species to make them slave. They are interesting. They strive on a hive consciousness. They were very pacifist species, but they have been enslaved by the Iban. They are parents with the Solipsi Rei, that's why they look like Etham. Zeta Reticuli, Solipsi Rei are originate from Zeta Reticuli, and then they migrate to Cygnus constellation. They have phenomenal telepathic skills, and especially when it becomes into deceiving Terran human abductives, they will make them believe they are loved, or they are make thought screens. They are very gifted in psychic abilities. That's why they were used by the Nebu for the abductions. The Dung, the Solipsi Rei or the Zeta, these three grey races from Zeta Reticuli system are all three enslaved to the Nebu, at the exception of the Solipsi Rei, who have managed to get colony in Cygnus were fine. But everything in Zeta Reticuli system are enslaved. The Dung are genetically altered. They cannot reproduce anymore. Why? Because they are maintained like this independence to the oppressors regarding to the cloning of their species for survival. The Iban have created a dependence from the Dung to them, Because now the survival of the species is only due to the goodwill of the Ibn, who are going to clone them. Remember the Oela. Some species have reached such a high abilities in genetics that they can create all 360 bodies and they incarnate souls in it. But that was the race of the alien in Alien Interview Book. These ones were absolutely involved. They are part of the Dominion, more exactly Nebu. I picked them because it shows how species can also strive and survive being just by cloning being cloned. Their hive consciousness is alive somewhere, but they need bodies. They cannot reproduce naturally anymore. So they need doll bodies and the Ibn make them for them. Alcabar to Alcabata, Perseus constellation. They are located on planet Erdem 2. There are 5 bunny points like horns on the top of the heads. They are quite impressive guys. They are extremely aggressive, considered by the Galactic Federation of Worlds as parasite race. They are all peace and love thief federation, but when they say somebody is a parasite like the Matra, they have reasons to do that. The Alcabatu are a warrior race class, based on society and very complex in its hierarchical structure. Their religious system is also very complicated, with myriads of gods. These ones have a religion, which we don't come across too much with ET races at this level. They breed either by eggs or either by mammal way. They have 2 ways of reproduction. They have 2 genders, male-female. A class of males, not all males, bear the eggs and that is their weakness. Remember there was another race, I don't remember which one, but the males was doing weird stuff, they were transforming into female. One class of males is going to bear eggs. That's their weakness. It is said they are assigned and born for this task. So it would be like a third gender. They have android androgynous ability and can inseminate themselves when chosen time has come. So obviously the Alcabata can do anything. They can have sex male female, some male can bear the eggs, and some can decide to be androgynous. For this transformation to become androgynous, they produce a particular hormone, which will activate the reproductive functions or shut it down. The offsprings from eggs and the offsprings from womb are biologically different and assigned to different purposes in the society. Females procreate by womb, individuals assist to practical social and political roles of both genders. The offsprings from eggs, predominantly males, are fit to be warriors and are particularly aggressive. Male, female, they can either reproduce by womb, either reproduced by eggs. So they have a reptilian genetics and mammal genetics both in their bodies, but 2 genders. When they use the reptilian reproductive system, it will be with certain males who will keep the eggs inside. I don't know how that passes from the female to the male. Then the males produce the eggs, mainly male, and they are very aggressive warriors. That's reptilian genes. And the females will give birth mammal babies, and these ones will be both sex and will be work more peacefully in the society. Now the last 2 very impressive as well. Another species who has the both reptilian and mammal in them, Kilitokert. The Kilitokert come from constellation Vela. We speak about them a lot. They are called tall heights. They're shapeshifters. Their normal original appearance is tall grays quite. They have white skin, and as Stephen Quay saw them Area 51, he worked with them and he said they're like Barbie, 361, dolls squashed. Black eyes and a very kind of bony hips. The females have long white hair iran, they can shapeshift into totally human, and you cannot see the difference. The only thing is the eyes stay black. So that's a key. Kilitokert are performing all the abductions. They are working with the Deep State and they involve with the Dark Fleet and the Nebu. They have 2 genders and they are oviparous. So we've seen reptiloids who can have babies like mammals. Now we're gonna see tall greys who have both and lay eggs like reptiles. They have human genetics as greys, but they have also reptiloid genetics is part of their reproductive system. They don't do hybridization programs, but they abductions for sexual trade. They lay eggs. The baby ain't going to come from the womb, the females do that and the eggs are raised outside in pods. They are doing a lot hybridization programs with humans, because they are very compatible with humans. They are very involved in. They like to have sex with humans. They enjoy it actually. I don't know if it's both. I've heard they enjoy it a lot. So they do that for pleasure as well. The Kiletokut are doing despicable things. Slave trade notably, but I spoke about them a few days ago. They make us wonder about ourselves. They Kiletokut adore their children, it's everything for them. But they will trade other people's children, other races' children, that they consider inferior like animals, and to be sold to reptilians for instance. And we know what they do with children. But they love their children. That day when he realized that, it made me think about us humans on Earth. We love our children so much. But we are other animals' children's. So it's kind of makes you think. Strom, these ones are the sex stars of my book. The Strom, the dog people. They're called the dog people, because they look like dogs but they're not related to dogs. They come from Ursa Minor. They are 6 foot high with big head and which look a bit like some dark dog and non-related, and they feed on nutrient liquid not liquids and vegetables. They are vegetarians and have amazing sex, for those who criticize the vegans. Strom have three genders. Thorhan dictated me this text, I took notes. So imagine Thorhan speaking. Strom have three genders and need the three together to procreate. One is the egg layer, the second fertilizer, and the other one the third one the bearer. So one produce eggs, one produced semen and the third bears the eggs. How they do that? Pheromones are first generated by the bearer, who feels it is time in its cycle. They have four cycles in a lifetime of 200 Terran years. It searches a couple of the two other components, to attract for reproduction. So it's going to produce pheromones, this one, to arouse sexual desire in a couple, in two other ones. He is going to arouse it both a male and a female. And when they have gathered all three together, start to be a little bit excited, the pheromones produced by the bearer stimulates the sexual functions of the two other ones starting to heat up, who switch into a chemical reaction activating their genital organs. No you have visualize it? You have 3 6-foot-5 tall aliens who look like humanoids with dog heads, who are starting to get so aroused all three together. There is nothing then that can stop them, and if the process is interrupted both the two creators die rapidly. So it's serious stuff once. The process is activated they need to do it, they need to do it. If they don't do the both, they die rapidly burned by the chemical that needs to be transmuted by copulation. Because this little bearer, he has aroused them both. But as he has aroused them both, these both they start to create, this chemical thus that is starting the procreation process, and if the procreation process is not performed this chemical won't be released and will kill them by burning them inside like acid. So once intercourse has occurred, the chemical is released from their system in the creation of the egg. And the fecund egg matrix needs then to be implanted in the bearer. 362. So this chemical is what's going to create the egg. So they need to do it. It is then that the bearer inserts an appendix into the matrix holder, the female, to grab the fecundated egg and ingests it. So the female bears these eggs and the other one is going to insert into the female A. Thorhan didn't tell me where these appendix go. In the mouth or in the butt, I don't know. Welcome to the wonderful biodiversity of this universe. The bearer rejects the matured specimen by an orifice at the back of his lower body. Do not be horrified, they do enjoy this. There must always be a minimum of enjoyment in any reproduction process, otherwise nobody wants to do it. It's necessary for any species to be motivated for survival. Elf as the galaxy holds on more surprises. Because now we are passing to four genders. The Elfath they live near Butts. They could be mistaken for the Solipsiri, but they're not related, not even from far. The Elfath are mainly interested in studying exosciences. They have four genders, three having a role to play in the breeding process. Two genders are assigned to procreate, the third to bear the embryo a term. We see this pattern repeating. Those of the fourth gender are not fertile and often vow their life to science prospects, because they are allotted with higher psychic abilities. Nor are they Noah, nor or come from Lyra constellation. They are reptiloid species. So they look humanoid. But they are reptilian species. They are nonetheless gracious humanoid-looking features and they are very spiritual. This is a rare case, where reptilian species reaches out to a very high level of consciousness. They have four genders, they are vegetarians, pacifist and they love colored clothes. Thorhan didn't tell me how they do that, but have four genders. Algral 9. There's better, 8. 8 genders together. They come from constellation Cetus. They are not numerous and live only on this on one planet off the system. They are about 6 foot high and look like reptilian. It's a very ancient race, wise and quiet people with a lifespan up to 350 Earth years. Although they are often mistaken for reptilians, they do not share anything with them, except appearance. This race has 8 genders, and all of them can reproduce when in sexual contact with each other. Each of them can reproduce, copulate with any one of the other 8. No matter which mates with them and they can have babies. I do not know how biologically this is possible. Acharon Mantis, now I'm going to present you a last one in this series. These ones are a particular example of the hive society structure, the real hive like the bees and ants. They have 2 genders, but imagine now, it's like the ants, you have the queen and you have the soldiers or all the other ones males. It's exactly working like an ant society. The Acharon Mantis, they come from another galaxy. They are interdimensional beings. They come from the M104 galaxy. The Mantis strive on a hive society. They are going to fertilize the queen and the queen is going to, 363, produce eggs. There are species of greys, who work like this, who go like this, Mazita, there's Rogera hive society. They are special, there are many castes, that's why they have different colors, green, white, black. You see in the abductions people relay different colors of Mantis, because they have different attribution in their society. It's like the ants, they have different shapes in the same ant house, because they have different attributions. It's the same for the Mantis. There will be a caste of males that will be especially attributed to fertilize the queen. There's way more in my book. 364, the 9th of August 2021. Tami Ancient Lyran Language https://www.youtube.com/watch. v=came-gif5k8zg9y-adorn. I bring you a gift. From the stars. Tami is a very old galactic language born in the Lyra constellation and still spoken to this day by man races and in the Pleiades. Tami is also the diplomatic language used in the Galactic Federation of Worlds. So here is a gift for you, for all those who long for home. This song was written by Thorhan and I sing it for you. Listen to the song, 365, the 10th of August 2021, LAN, from Lyra to the galaxy https://www.youtube.com/watch, v=ulxoipsy5g. Who are these mysterious beautiful ancient beings who have humanoid bodies with feline features in their upper body? Situation updates. Go and check on Dr. Michael Salo Exopolitics, the latest update that we've done together. This update has been horrendously criticized by people who do not know what's really happening out here. There's been a lot of misunderstanding after this video and Michael and I have been like bashed like a witch hunt, medieval witch hunt. We've let out the information that Thorhan was allowed to share with me that certain meetings have been going on in the facility of the Galactic Federation of Worlds on Jupiter. These meetings were the equivalent, if you know, on Earth before the end of World War II there were the Yalta agreements, who were preparing the afterward after victory when the Allies know that victory is secured but we just need to finish the job, then you plan for the future. You plan for the organization and the logistics of how the world is going to be managed, because you don't want to leave behind the world of chaos, where we've won. Now we go home and just help yourself, that total chaos that allows any predators to step in. So what you need to do, you need to take the people that and the institutions that are the best able to manage such shows and to bring everyone back into a path of social peace, balance and prosperity. That's what's happening at the moment, and the Galactic Federation of World is helping us, Terrans, to reach this, because it's quite difficult. For all those who have studied all the history of secret space programs, you know, I invite you to read the work and the books of Dr. Michael Salad, who has spent years and years studying this. Why was it so difficult to hear for people? Because here is the intel I got. Thorhan was escorting legations to Jupiter, and he was staying in orbit of Jupiter with his fleet, and he told me there are agreements going on. All the details is in what I gave to Michael. So you want the details of this story, go and watch his video. These meetings were helping Earth people to take back their solar system in hands and avoid a situation where all the different predators and space programs competing each other would just make of this star system a battlefield. No. Now it's time to plan for the future, now it's time to organize ourselves as adults. So what happened is that there has been no agreement with the Galactic Federation. They just helped us organizing ourselves as guides and big brothers. They helped us to organize ourselves to find what structure and organization would fit best, ere rebuilding of ourselves as a civilization. So the one the country having space programs and that we're the best able to take care of peace and secure safety zones was the US. You cannot never please everyone. What they were looking for was the spirit of guardianship of taking care. The Galactic Federation has been working with the US Navy since the 1940s, building solar warden building technology and scientific cooperation. Now they've helped us organize ourselves. Sothius is going to be managing the logistics of an alliance of different space forces and countries regarding to space. And this has had its bases on the Artemis cards. The Artemisa cards were the first step, and then it unfolded with interaction with the ETs. So the Andromeda Council, the Galactic Federation of Worlds and the Council of Five were represented on Jupiter. 366. There are six countries who form like a starfleet. Many others will join, but others are at the moment those who are best able to take care of peace and behavior in this system. These six are regarded by deduction with Michael us, China, Russia, France, Japan. These are forming a coalition. Why they did want to include Russia and China? Because then they are not set aside as potential opponents and troublemakers. It kind of forces everyone to get on with each other and put out knowledge and technology together. That's what the Galactic Edition did. Now you need to find one who would manage them. Well, the US won the price because the most able to do it for many reasons. Now, with these different countries, we're also beside the officials of the Space Forces CEOs, because the rebuilding of a civilization is not only with military, it is with commercial aspect. So they thea shows as the Galactic said, progressive corporation. Corporation is not a bad word. A corporation can work for the greater good. It's like technology is bad. No, it depends who uses technology, it depends who runs a corporation. But you can have technology use for the greater good, you can have corporations working for the greater good. Yes, it is possible. Thorhan was the person who told me this. At any moment named any CEO's names or companies. He said, it's new companies that have been judged by the Federation as potentially progressive. So now they're having an eye on them and they think they're going to be good behave. If they don't pave, they are out of course, but they have interest to be to stay in. The only names Thorhan named was after the penultimate, like the semi-final set of meetings, where was about to be decide who would manage the three ships left. And these ships where are those who were not voted to manage to start new Starfleet. Thorhan said it showed me this oblong ships and that I couldn't identify later as Solar Warden ships. Bringing back the delegations to Earth, these ships were Thorhan said, oh look, they are coming back, they're going back to Earth, these three delegations, and two of them are Chinese and Russians and they are really unhappy, and I didn't say more. So I deduced that they were unhappy because they didn't get to rule over the Starfleet. And none of them is happy to be under management of the US, of course. So China and Russia are not left out, they are just unhappy because they don't neither of them got to manage everyone. That's great news.